was blind, now I see. Now I have to say, I've had a really good winter mindset this year. It was a real winter, don't you think? None of this, you know, back and forth, summer, spring. No, none of that. Pure winter. And I was right into it. Snowing, skiing, doing skating, doing all those wonderful things out there. Until Friday. On Friday, I made a mistake. It was raining, and I thought, I can't go skiing, I can't go skating, I can't do much of anything. I'll go shopping for summer shoes. It was wonderful, and I bought far too many shoes. But, you see, I had been blind to spring until I bought those shoes. And the bright colors and the excitement of wearing sandals opened my eyes. And then it snowed. Now, yes, I went snowshoeing yesterday, but I can see spring, or at least I could until this morning. And the problem with seeing something is that once you see it, you can't go back to being blind. So yes, I will go out and do winter sports again this afternoon, but in my heart, it surely must be spring. Transformation, whether it be of an attitude or an idea or of our very physical bodies, is always disruptive. Always. The man who was born blind in today's long story was not even recognized by his friends and neighbors once he was healed. How odd is that? Most of us realize that when someone is blind, you often can't even tell. They look just like the rest of us, and most people function at such a high level that you would never necessarily know. But here is this man. He regains his sight, and all of a sudden, they don't recognize him. He can't be the beggar that used to beg. He can't be the same person, and they don't want to believe that he actually is. And he has to retell his story, as we heard, over and over and over again to try and convince people that, yes, he is who he is. He has been transformed. Now, don't you think it's kind of odd that his friends and neighbors didn't recognize him when nothing had maybe changed to their sight? Well, I'm not sure how odd it is, actually, because how often do we define those around us in terms of shortcomings, challenges, or perceived deficits? We do it without thinking. That person is unemployed. She's divorced. He's an alcoholic. A dropout from high school. She has cancer. He's depressed. That person is a failure. And we do it to ourselves as well. We allow past setbacks and disappointments and failures to shape how we see ourselves. And we don't do things that we might like to do because we are already determined that we can't. Often, we define things in terms of problems rather than possibilities. However, once a possibility has been seen, we can't go back. Now, we're not always open to seeing the possibilities. So I wasn't particularly open to seeing spring because I knew winter wasn't quite finished. But once I opened myself to that possibility, I can't stop it now. I want to wear those sandals. Tony Robbins says that change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. This week, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission is meeting in Edmonton. It's the last national event where stories of residential school abuse are told and retold and listened to. And reconciliation is beginning and healing is happening. A painful, painful time. And yet a beautiful, beautiful time. On their website, it says, the truth of our common experiences will help set our priorities free and pave the way to reconciliation. What a transforming change from our ancestors to where we are today. When I was first ordained, I was serving the Diocese of Kootenay in British Columbia. And our neighbors, the Diocese of Cariboo, were led by Bishop Jim Cruikshank. And that is when the story started to come out about how our schools had harmed people. Of course, not the schools, but some of those people that we employed, some of those people we ordained. And Jim, a man full of great grace, as soon as the stories came out about their school in Kamloops, he brought together the native leaders, the Aboriginal peoples, and he apologized to them. The same day, he had a call from the legal counsel saying he needed to retract his statement. Because now that he had apologized, he, on behalf of the Anglican Church, had admitted guilt. And because we had admitted guilt, we would be sued. And the consequences would be potentially the loss of the Anglican Church of Canada as we knew it at the time. And Jim, despite all the pressure, said, I will not retract my apology. It came from the heart. It's been transforming. I cannot go back. And so that diocese, in fact, did go to court and lost its standing as a diocese of the Anglican Church of Canada, lost for a time its bishop, lost its resources and its financial ability to really function as it had been. And yet, the truth was seen and shared and heard, and it was painful, but the possibility of change happened. And now, again, we have, and still, actually it never stopped, the diocese continued to go in the terms of its people. It's in a different formation, it's in a different way, and they have a bishop. And we didn't lose that which ministered to people, despite the fact we had hurt people. How transformative a moment that was, not just for the people of that land, but for all of us in our land. Transformative and disruptive. You see, when Jesus arrives on the scene, everything changes. It's often easier for us to live with our defined, even if deformed, sense of ourselves and others than to risk a new identity, an abundant life that Jesus offers. In the gospel, we hear about how the parents of the man born blind are going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And he himself is. And what has he done? He received healing, and he didn't even know who had healed him. And he repeats over and over again, I don't know. He made some mud out of his spit. He put it on my eyes. I went and washed, and I can see. Plain, simple, straightforward facts that were transformative in his life as he stopped being a beggar and an unknown person sitting on the side of the road, and all of a sudden was the center of all this attention, the community, his family, the church, the synagogue, the Jews around him, all wanted to know his story. And so that brings us back to us here in this land as we hear stories that we don't really want to hear sometimes, but that we need to hear. Stories in this community that maybe we don't want to go over, but we need to hear. Stories in our own lives that we need to revisit from time to time to remember that we have been transformed, that Jesus has touched us, and in doing so has disrupted us. No question about it, has rocketed us out of our sense of complacency and put us in a new place. A new place that, like this morning, wasn't where I thought we were going. I did not expect 8 inches of snow to shovel when I arrived at church this morning. I did not expect to put those lovely, colorful sandals back in the closet and bring out my winter hiking boots yet again. And yet, that taste of spring that I know is there in the air, in the warmth, under the ground that is being nourished by this precipitation, well, that's still in my heart, and hopefully in yours as well, because we need to remember that when Jesus touches us, when Jesus puts that on our eyes, and we see, there is no going back. May you be transformed and disrupted. Amen.